Today we're going to read right away the scripture passage I'm going to focus on today. It's one that we've heard before and we heard again during the Christmas season, but we'll remember this story of the wise men who came to see the baby Jesus. So if you would follow along, if you want to read the yellow words that are printed up on the screen or in your bulletin. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, a father was interrupted by his daughter Nancy one evening while he was reading the newspaper. "Daddy," she said, "we have a play for you." Obediently, the father followed his daughter into the living room. Right away, he knew it was going to be a Christmas play, for at the foot of the piano bench was a lighted flashlight wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a shoebox. Rex, age 6, came in wearing his father's bathrobe, hanging way down on the floor, carrying a mop handle. He sat at the piano bench, looking intently at the flashlight in the shoebox. Nancy came in with a sheet draped over her head, and she stood behind Rex. "I'm Mary, and this is Joseph," she said. "Enter Cousin Trudy, wearing pillowcases on her arms, saying, 'I'm an angel.'" Then came daughter Anne. Her father knew that she must be one of the wise men because she moved as if she were riding on a camel. On the pillowcase, she carried three items, undoubtedly gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Anne bowed to the flashlight, to Mary and Joseph, to Trudy the angel, and to her father. Then she announced, "I'm all three wise men. I bring the baby Jesus three precious gifts, gold, circumstance, and mud." Well, the father, of course, did everything that he could to suppress a roaring laugh, which would have ruined the play for his children. Yet after he thought about it for a while, it began to make sense to him. It made sense that whenever we come to the Jesus, whenever we come to meet Jesus face to face, that we should always bring him our gold, our circumstance, and our mud. And this is also the message, I believe, for each one of us at this Christmas and also as we enter into the new year of 2019. As we worship Jesus, our Savior, it is extremely important that we remember to bring him each and every day these three things. First of all, we should bring him our gold. We should come to Jesus and offer him our whole life, everything that we have and everything that we are. Christmas is about receiving gifts. We've been talking all the time about all the gifts that we receive, but the most important gifts that we receive from Jesus are the gifts of life, the gifts of forgiveness, and the gifts of peace. And then in turn, as he has given us gifts, which is the Christmas message, then we in turn need to give ourselves in love and service to others. There is no more appropriate gifts than any one of us can bring to the Christ child than to offer him our whole life, to offer him everything that we have, and to offer him everything that we are. The author Tolstoy told a story many, many, many years ago, a story of the shopkeeper who told his friends that he had a vision that the Lord was going to come to his house and be his guest. In response, he got very, very busy getting his little shop ready. It was Christmas Eve, and he had strewn his place with branches of fir. Everything was set. The kettle was on the stove, and it was shiny and ready. Over the rafters, he had strung some holly. And then he said, "Now I'll wait for my Lord to appear. I'll listen closely so I can hear his steps on my humble doorway." His friends all went home, and when his family was all gone, he was all alone. Yet he knew that the Lord's coming would make this the happiest Christmas of all. He listened intently for every sound, and occasionally he watched through the windows to see if Jesus was coming. Finally, the sound of footsteps brought him to the window, yet all he saw was a beggar trudging through the snow. His clothes were shabby, and they were worn. The shopkeeper felt sorry, and he opened the door, and he said, "I have some shoes for you, some clothes to make you warm." The man was very happy, and he went on his way with joy in his heart. It was getting late, yet Jesus still had not come. "Why is he so late?" the man wondered. There was again a knock at the door, yet it was only a stranger. This time it was an old woman, bent over, wearing a shawl. All she wanted was a place to rest, yet his place, the shopkeeper told her, was reserved for a very special guest who was coming that night. "Don't send me away," she said. "Let me rest for a while on Christmas Eve." So he brewed her a cup of coffee, and she sat at the table to sip it. Again he waited. "Jesus will surely come soon." Suddenly out of the stillness came a shout, "Please help me and tell me where I am." It was a little child. The little child was lost on Christmas Eve. Again the storekeeper was disappointed. Yet he called her in, dried her tears, and he led her back to her home. As he returned, he entered into the darkened doorway. He knew that the Lord was not coming to his house that night. So he went into his room and he prayed, "Dear Lord, why did you delay? What kept you from coming to call on me? I wanted so much to see your face." But then a voice spoke to him, "I have kept my word. 3 times my shadow crossed your door." "You see," said the voice, "I was the beggar, shabby, bruised, and cold. I was the woman you gave food and drink. I was the child on the homeless street. Jesus came clothed in the bodies of these strangers, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, as Jesus called them, sharing himself, sharing his shelter, sharing his food, sharing his time, was doing it unto Jesus." My friends, that's what Christmas is all about. It is about receiving Jesus by faith as he comes to us with his gifts of grace and love. It is receiving his gifts of life and salvation that he has for you and for me. And then in return, it is giving ourselves to Jesus' service by sharing ourselves with others, by sharing the gifts that Jesus has given us, by being a light in this world. So there really is no more appropriate gift that any of us can bring to the Christ child than our gold, to bring him everything that we have and everything that we are. Secondly, we as his followers should bring to Jesus our circumstance or our circumstances. Now, every one of us here today has a particular circumstance that our life is in. Perhaps you're worried about your health or the health of a loved one. Perhaps you're concerned about a depressed child, about financial problems, about your marriage relationship that maybe has drifted apart. Whatever circumstance you are in today, Jesus beckons you to bring it to him. He says to each one of you, I understand. Because that is the true message of Christmas. Jesus was born as a human being, just like you and me. Therefore, whatever you face in life, he has already faced it. Whether it be suffering, loneliness, betrayal, temptation, death, Jesus faced all of those things. He faced everything that we can go through. He did it in his life. Jesus understands whatever you are going through today, whatever concern you have in your heart, whatever concern you have in your life. And Jesus beckons to each and every one of you to bring that circumstance to him today. And as you do, Jesus promises. He promises that he will give you his love, his peace, and his strength. He says, come unto me, all you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. Jesus is there for you, whatever you are going through in your life today. Bernie was in the hospital. He had inoperable cancer, and he was dying. I was lying there, he said, feeling distressed and wondering if God was real at all. So I prayed to God, and when I opened my eyes, I saw an image that Jesus was standing in the corner of my room. Great numbers of people came to him, and they would reach into their clothes, and they would take out their hearts, and they would give them to the Lord, and he would smile at them. First the grown-ups came, said Bernie, and then the children. After a while, he said, I got out of my bed, and I walked over to where Jesus was standing, and I took out my heart, and I gave it to him. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said to me, peace. And from that moment on, Bernie said, I was at peace. I was at peace with my dying. Bernie experienced the true gift and the true meaning of Christmas. He came to Jesus with his circumstance. He gave it to him, and he was now at peace. He knew that Jesus was his Lord and his Savior, and he knew that even death could not separate him from Jesus' love, and he knew that he too would have eternal life. The third thing that we can bring to the Christ child and need to bring to him is our mud. Now, mud, of course, is made out of clean water with lots of dirt added. And this, of course, can oftentimes be a representation of what our lives often are like. There are many today who have muddied up their lives with their sins, with their failures, or with their mistakes. For some people today, it's as if their life is kind of stuck in the mud. They just can't seem to get going. They just can't seem to do new things because they're stuck in the mud. They're stuck in the past. They're stuck in it, and they just cannot reach out and move ahead. It is of utmost importance, therefore, that we bring Jesus the mud of our sinful lives, because only Jesus can wash us clean. Only he can take away our sins. The message of Jesus' cross and resurrection is that our sins are now forgiven. The mud is taken away, and we are made whiter than snow. I saw a Dennis the Menace cartoon strip many years ago where Dennis was trying his hardest to remember his line for the Sunday School Christmas program. And his line was the familiar words of the shepherds, of the angels to the shepherds, I bring you glad tidings. Well, not being familiar with that, since we don't often say to people, I'm bringing you glad tidings today, he wasn't really familiar with that phrase. He asked his parents, he said, well, what does that mean? What does glad tidings mean? And they said, well, it means like really good or really awesome news. You know, it's something like that. They're trying to explain it to him. Well, when it came time for him to say his line in the program, Dennis hesitated, and he said, I bring you glad, you know, it just didn't seem to click with him, forgetting the exact words to say. But all of a sudden, his face lit up, and he literally shouted out his line in his own words. He said, "Wow, have I got some awesome news for you?" Well, these Christmas days, we can also proclaim that good news. "Wow, have I got some really awesome news for you?" The awesome news is that Jesus is born. The awesome news is that he is our Savior and that he is our friend. And the awesome news that we can bring to him today, each and every day, our gold, our circumstance, and our mud. A blessed Christmas and a blessed new year to each and every one of you today. Would you join me in prayer? Loving God, we've just been through Christmas. And you've given us the most wonderful gifts in the world, the gifts of your love, the gifts of your forgiveness, the gift of your salvation. Lord, we pray that we might then give to you whatever is hurting in our lives, whatever we need to share with you. Lord, fill us with your love, fill us with your hope, and bless us as we live for you each and every day. We pray all this, and all God's people said, Amen.